Welcome to Identity Church Sunday morning message, where sonship is revealed. Stay tuned at the end of this message to receive more information about resources available through Identity Church. Now grab your Bible, sit back, and enjoy a message from Identity Church that is already in progress.
I do really feel like I'm carrying something for the house and for us. You know, like I said, I mean, you can hear that we were born and raised in church and had all the reasons to live right. But in 1993, I was a mess, and Jesus walked to the wall in 1993. It was in the middle of a divorce. I was a mess. And I met Jesus in a really powerful way. And I realized that God loved me. And what I'm preaching today, I'm mad about. I'm actually irritated and angry because in 1993, I had an encounter with God. And he purified me. He made me holy. I was walking with him. And I can remember Susie going, You're too spiritual. You're too innocent. I was so enamored with how the love of God, and could hear his voice do the things. And I came out of that season recovering my marriage, recovering relationships. How many remember that your honeymoon with Jesus? Dude, my honeymoon with Jesus was awesome. But then I was told by religion that that's not reality. You're so spiritual. You're so this. You're like, and somehow religion stole my innocence. And I got on the hamster wheel of performance. Travel as a prophet. Travel as this. Do the thing. And I've had an encounter. Last year at the Accelerant Conference in Horseheads, before we went, I was asked to put out a Facebook post, and I had the lineup who was speaking: Jack Taylor, Bill Vanderbush, Charlie Coker, you know, the greats. And there was a guy by the name of Jim Baker on there I had never met before. And so me being the smart aleck that I am, says, I hope he's not married to Tammy Faye, you know, and I put this out on a, you know, I knew he wasn't, but, and all of a sudden I got done with the video. And I went into an open vision for this Jim and Mary Baker. I did not know who his wife's name was in the natural, but Jim and Mary. So prophetically, I knew her name, and I had like a 3 or 4 page download. And the Lord said, when you go to the conference, when it's your turn to preach, I want you to prophesy this to them publicly. And then I had a whole nother page of some private stuff for her. And so I go to this conference knowing that I'm an agent of change. I release stuff from the heavens. I hear the voice of heaven. I release stuff and it brings change. So I was excited, except when it was my turn to preach, they weren't there yet. I'm like, well, did I miss the whole thing? The Lord says, no. And because they weren't there, you know, they had the row where all the speakers, their names were on the chair. He says, put up 2 chairs and leave their name in it. Prophesy over it. And so I literally, in my turn to speak at this conference, I prophesied over 2 empty chairs with their names in it. Bill Vanderbush is over there sending them videos going, hey, this prophet's prophesying over you and Mary. And he's thinking it's funny. He didn't realize it was true. And he goes, tell him to call Mary's sin out, you know. And then he sees the video and realizes, oh, this is serious. They came in late that night. They got the handle. They gave them a copy of the message. And then I the next morning I gave her the personal stuff. And all of a sudden there was this connection between her and I. And she scared me. There was a holiness and a purity about her that scared me. There was an innocence about her that scared me. And I made a conscious decision that there's no way I could be in long-term relationship with these two people. Because I'm too rough. I'm not innocent. I'm rough around the edges, and I consciously walled my heart off to them. So we're out to dinner, those two and me and Bill Vanderbush, and she makes a sweet, I mean, they came out of the womb saying hallelujah. They don't have any history like I got. The only smoking they did is when the Holy Ghost showed up and smoked on them. I mean, they never did nothing. And she makes an innocent statement. She says, yeah, I tried wine once. When I was in a missions trip in Turkey, I tried wine. I says, well, what'd you think? She says, I first thought was, why would you put turpentine in a good glass of grape juice? And that's funny. But then I went, oh, my God, I can't. Look at my history. And evidently, Bill Vanderbush saw that, called the waiter, and he says, can I? And he orders a drink. I'm like, you don't drink. And he said, I did tonight. And he did it to protect me. Something in me was wrestling. And then she has a dream about me, and I'm thinking, oh, God, you're keep her away from me. But then about a week and a half, I came home, and I had a prophetic dream. In this dream, Jim and Mary Baker were beating me with weapons. They were abusing me with weapons. And they were tearing me up, man. They were banging on me and beating on me. And I started screaming, Jesus, save me. They're abusing me. And I start screaming, Jesus, save me from these two. Jesus walks up in this dream. And he goes, stand up. I stood up and he goes, what is your problem? I said, they're beating me with these weapons. He goes, look at their weapons, Charlie. And she was beating me with purity. And he was beating me with holiness. And I was being tormented. I've wrestled that particular encounter for almost a year. Some of you heard that when Susie and I went snowmobiling a few weeks ago, and Susie just looked at me, she goes, you know, basically, thank you for spending the money, taking the time, and it was about her. And she looked at me, she made a statement, isn't it good to be on the other side of bankruptcy? And I got a whole download with 21 files of messages. And so I had prepared to preach the first three, which actually I preached here about the three visitations after the cross, on the other side of the cross. So Tuesday of a week ago, the Lord says to me, go in prayer, look at file 12, and I want you to add that to your message when you go to New York and preach this year. So I open up file 12, and it's the revelation about Mary Baker. The title of the book is The Weapon of Innocence. And he downloaded 9 chapters. How many were here Thursday night and heard Bill Vanderbush? Did you hear him get on that innocent thing? He stole that from me. I'm like, dang, Bill. He goes, well, you think I wasn't listening when you were preaching in New York? And so I take all this information and remember the honeymoon stages with God and realize I've been on the religious hamster wheel. And that, if you remember, I've been preaching about shame. On the cross, Jesus was naked and not ashamed. He took my public humility away. He took my shame of my past. He took my sins. Listen, here's the issue. When Jesus takes your sin and forgives you of your sin and that's it, there's this devil thing on the inside of you. He goes, oh, there just wasn't enough evidence to convict me. See, if Jesus only took my sin away, then I'm stuck with my reputation. I'm stuck with my history. This guy's got, y'all want to know something? Ask him. I got history. But when Jesus walks through the wall and introduces himself and he says, you're forgiven, basically saying, you're innocent.
even though you don't feel like it, even though the devil's lied to you and you're believing it, you're innocent. And I'm going to tell you something. I have not had the baptism of innocence in 25 years. I had it for the first couple years, but religion stole it from me. I was so pure and holy the first 2 years, Susie didn't even like me. And I said, good, you were divorced from the other guy anyway. But somehow religion has snuck back in. Religion has had me get on the hamster wheel of making effort to please God when he declared me innocent. I started believing religious lies. So I'm having this revelation. I'm going to be the great big preacher at the new conference. Cool, big conference, yeah. I said, Lord, are you going to anoint this message? He goes, probably not. I said, Lord, this is a big conference. This is what I always do. This is where I said, he goes, have you received the baptism of innocence? I said, yeah. He said, prove it. I said, how do I do that? And he says, if you can't give it away, you don't have it. So I'm sitting in this big conference and I said, Lord, what do you mean you're not going to anoint me? I had a deal with you. You would always anoint my messages. He said, yeah, well, you're going to have to make a choice. Are you going to give away what I've given you? You know, that's a principle of God. So how many have been forgiven? Then why do we always argue and debate over carrying unforgiveness? So if you've been forgiven, then why do you carry unforgiveness towards somebody? Now, here's the problem is we think that someone has done us wrong and we have a hard time forgiving them. Because the biggest thing is we don't want to be hurt again. So I'm going to hold this against you. And Bill preached it Friday night. I preached it Thursday night. I preached it Friday. And part of my scripture was John chapter 20. You know, the Holy Spirit, he comes in, he breathes on them, gives them the Holy Spirit, his first visitation after this side of the cross. And he says, whoever sins you forgive, they'll be forgiven. Whosoever sins you retain will be retained. And he breathes on them. In other words, if you have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, you have the power to forgive sin. Amen. But then we carry all this unforgiveness toward people. You getting quiet? Is this good? Yes. I mean, look at my wife. You okay? You eating sermon candy yet? She put us on a diet this morning on the way to church. I'm trying to get prayer for this meeting, and she's putting us on a diet today. I'm like, I want prayer. She goes, no, we're starting a diet tomorrow. She goes, my arse has gotten so big, I feel like I'm being followed again. She goes, I think somebody's following me, and it's me. I'm like, oh, my God. Oh, you're behind somebody. So we have officially started a diet after church, after today. After lunch. Where I was. So listen. 4 years ago, a spiritual son of mine jumped off the stupid truck into the real dumb truck and ruined our relationships in New York, wound up in an adulterous situation, wound up divorced, and basically happened with one of the girls of that particular church we're at, and it was a mess. Our leadership had to do some things, and it's been bad. Lord says, have you been received the baptism of innocence? I said, yeah. He said, prove it. And there's my spiritual son who's blamed me for holding him accountable, who's been angry with me. And the Lord says to me, he says, you and, he named him, he said, you have forgiven each other enough to be in the same room, but can you go declare him innocent? I said, can I do it after I preach? He said, no, if you don't do it now, don't even preach. Don't, you're done. Lord, do you know what he did? Do you know I had to put my reputation on the line to salvage the people group that he would destroy? God, Did I declare you innocent? Yes. Then go give it away. And here's the problem. Because I'm really... Stop preaching or obey me. I'm like, man, I love being cornered and I got to preach in 10 minutes or not. He says, don't get hung up in the mechanics. Go obey me. And I walked up to him and I said, hey, we've forgiven each other to the point we can be in the same room, but I declare you innocent. And he broke. Yep. He started crying. I started crying. God, what about all the emails where his wife is going, what do I do? What about all the people that got hurt? What about my reputation? He goes, oh yeah, I took care of that on the cross. Declare him innocent. And by the way, then preach about it. So I had to stand up and tell the story and publicly, you're innocent. Now I got leadership there. That don't think he's innocent. And I'm in their conference. The power of the cross that makes you innocent is going to confront your religious stance.
Amen. Amen.
How many of taking the scriptures and declared, I'm a righteous man, and you take it to the warehouse, the war room, and because of the righteousness that Jesus gave me, and you start declaring your words are righteous words. I've seen the never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed ever begging for bread, and you're doing all that. Let me tell you something. If your righteousness has 1 ounce of your works, then it wasn't founded on innocence. Because then you've worked for a portion of, and it becomes self-righteousness. It's not his righteousness. Because when you're innocent and then he says you're righteous, it's a completely all about him. Listen, when righteousness becomes the weapon of war, it's found the foundation of real righteousness is you're innocent. I was raised in the Assemblies of God Church. Charlie and I were raised that we had two dogs in our lives. We had a good dog and a bad dog. And sometimes if we're not walking with Jesus, we're feeding the wrong dog. Well, let me tell you something. If you're innocent, the dog's dead. There is no bad dog on the inside. It's dead. The problem is we haven't received the innocence of the Father, and therefore we walk around in condemnation and guilt. So as I'm trying to figure out this innocence thing, and Jesus says, you want me to be real blunt with you? I said, yeah. He said, listen, he said, when you got saved, when you had your encounter with me, I was addicted to pornography. That was my lifestyle. That was my Achilles heel. That's what destroyed everything about me. He says, give me your report card for the last 25 years. And I handed him a report card in 25 years. I've had 3 mistakes. Not seasons, mistakes. He goes, that's pretty good. In man's standards, that'd be an A+. And he says to me, but if you would have understood and walked in the revelation of innocence, you wouldn't need a report card because there is no test. What? Do you know how hard I've worked to walk in holiness? You know how hard I've prayed and used the sword of the Spirit, had accountability. I got friends go, hey man, I'm struggling with lust. Accountability. Listen, but if I understood innocence, porn would lose its attraction.
That's right.
When it no longer has an attraction because I'm innocent, I no longer have to war against it. So just replace the word porn, anger. Covetousness. Pride. You can't be prideful and innocent. You can't be innocently prideful either. So on this side of the cross, before the crucifixion, Jesus had little kids where he goes, suffer the little children, let them come unto me. He says, you must come to me as a child. Then you can see the kingdom. Listen, the problem is we've applied the cross to remove our sin, and we go, woohoo, my sins are gone. But you've never become innocent. He didn't tell us to come as a child if he wasn't going to give us the ability to be childlike. The perversion that has destroyed you and you had to wrestle against goes away when you become innocent. Some of us are so proud of our accomplishments as adults, but it's not founded on the innocence of what Christ gave us, and therefore we're in that hamster wheel of religion. But God, how do I handle this behavior and this person? Because this behavior is destructive in nature. This behavior, he said, son, he says, you love them as a child, declare them innocent, but then bring them to maturity. The problem is you're trying to grow people up without their innocence. Amen. Amen. You see, you don't hand the car keys to a 12-year-old. Even though they're supposed to eventually drive, you wait until they come to maturity. But I'm telling you, but if they only behave because they want to drive instead of actually learning that there's principles that you're going to crash if you don't, listen, you're handing a time bomb to people. When you don't understand that you are innocent in God's eyes, then your identity is skewed. Either he did that at the cross or he didn't. I've preached the message. Charlie Coker sins. But when the paperwork is opened in heaven, Jesus goes, oh, that video of Charlie? I'll take it. Jesus becomes my loophole. When the real fact is that he became my sin. It says he became sin. He didn't take care of my behavior. He became my behavior. Catch this. So if I'm behaving like I shouldn't, this means I haven't realized what he's done, and therefore I haven't matured into the identity of who he says I am. When my behavior is continually immature, it's because I haven't come through the innocence of being matured. That must have been good to you. It's good to me, too.
Repeat that.
I can't. Get the tape. I'm going to have to listen to it myself. But listen. It's going to be public anyway. I'm starting to get texts from Randy. That's my spiritual son's name. He goes, sorry about when we went to lunch. I didn't act innocent. I said, yeah, but I declared you innocent. Yeah, but I didn't behave innocent. Because you know what he told me? He said, man, God told me that he told you to kill me. I said, he did. He goes, you're dang good at it too. I said, oh yeah. But you know why I had to kill you, Randy? Why? Because you wouldn't kill yourself. Colossians says, you mortify the deeds of the flesh. Quit looking for Jesus to do something he's already done. But if you understand it because you're innocent, you can mortify your behavior and bring it into alignment under the power of the Holy Spirit to walk in holiness and purity and righteousness. And he's going, He goes, I didn't act this. And I ran into some of the people that were at the conference that used to be under his leadership. And he goes, I didn't act innocent to them. I said, well, you're probably not innocent to them yet. They're still walking through their own. They heard the message too, buddy. I don't know the mechanics of this. But if I start with it, I can figure it out. If your prayer is your list of failures, your prayers are started in the wrong position. Father, I know you made me innocent, but my behavior, that should be our, listen, that's my new prayer. Father, I know I'm innocent because of what you've done, but my behavior is not lining up with innocence. Where is my false identity? Where have I not matured into your likeness, into your image, into your grace? Show me, because my behavior is not lining up with the foundation of innocence. The whole weekend messed me up. Totally messed me up. So I go walking into Saturday night and, you know, Leif Hetland, anybody know who he is? He's like, he goes to Pakistan for the last 25 years and kisses Muslims. They invite him to preach in the mosque. The imams invite him to the house. They call him the apostle of love. He's one of our spiritual brothers. He was there. And he's preaching this. The one person, he looks down and goes, oh, now he wasn't there when I preached. He wasn't there when I called out Randy's name. And he goes, beelines to him and kisses him. Breaks him out. I'm like, God, what are you showing me? I said, Leif was carrying something with a father's love that is amazing. And I'm not coveting something that ain't worth coveting. I want that. And he says, you have that. I go, really? He says, what about all the people who can't receive the Father's love? Do you know why? They don't think they're innocent enough. And I went into a vision, and I saw me kissing people and declaring your innocence. Because until you understand your innocence, you never position yourself for the Father's love. Because you don't think you're worthy. And I'm telling you, I never thought I'd be the kissing prophet. You mess with me, I'm going to put one on you.
On the cheek, right?
On the cheek. Susie's on. I did it once for Susie. I've been lipping ever since.
That is cheek.
That's right. Yeah, correct. Facial cheek.
It's a righteous kiss, yeah. But they ain't talking about this than the other
two. So I come into Saturday night's meeting. Lisa Lowmaster, she's head of the worship. She's a worshiping just off the chain. But she's holding a little baby. I know it's not hers. It's somebody's in the congregation's baby. And the Lord says, she's taking care of the baby, but she's a worshiper. You hold the baby. I'm like, I don't do babies. Until you learn. So I got the baby. He just. Lisa's like, you okay? I'm like, yes, I'm fine. I will not drop the kid. And she starts worshiping. Power of God just running through the place. I'm holding this baby. Here's what he says to me. Until the prophets start taking care of the babies will never grow up to be prophets.
Wow. Come on, God.
Wow. Dude, I'm holding this kid. Look at his face. Is he innocent? Is he innocent? Is he innocent? He said, you're holding a prophet. I am. He's just in baby form. But until the prophets will take care of the babies, they'll never mature into prophets. But in the babies must understand their innocence before they'll ever become a strong prophet. And they're only going to learn by your example.
3 hours I held this kid. There's a miracle. You want to see a sign and a wonder?
You didn't have to change it.
Oh, I thought I did.
You probably were supposed to.
I find out that the baby is Sean and Alden's little baby. They're the number two there. I prophesied when he was in his mother's womb that he'd be a prophet to the nations. I didn't know whose kid it was when I grabbed him. He says, when I can raise up some innocence prophets, then they will speak with purity and clarity. But if my prophets don't understand innocence, they will always go to the mean side of the prophetic. They'll always go to the wrath side. And I'm like, wow, man, that's me. I'm guilty as charged. When you go to judgment first, it's because you don't understand innocence. We don't understand the power of the cross. We don't understand what God's... We'll find the negative so quick because we're not innocent. And God is looking for a people that can release his grace and release his mercy. But the first thing we need to do is be baptized in innocence. Who struggles with loving sometimes? Is it just me? Okay, thank you, Ann. We'll have special prayer for you later. In the parking lot yesterday, comes up, are you the pastor? Yes. Will you pray for me? My son is an addict. He's destroying my house. My husband wants to leave because of this. And she asked for prayer. I said, why would you let your son destroy your house? His behavior is destroying your home. His behavior is destroying your marriage. And you're allowing his behavior to do that. Give him the option to go get healed. Give him the option to change his behavior. And I'm thinking, I'm giving her this advice. How does that line up with innocence? See, we think innocence is a license to misbehave. No, it's an opportunity to bring maturity. Because with innocence, then we're molded into God's image. And when you're innocent, it means you're coming like a child. And every child needs discipline, yes. Not punishment. Yes. See, religion punishes you because you weren't worthy. Religion says that, oh, you're a dirty dog. The religion says, oh, you don't measure up. But that's just the devil talking. But when Jesus says you're innocent, you're pure, you're holy in your mind. And when he brings correction, it's not punishment, it's discipline. Why? Son, I made you innocent. Now act that way. You know, Bill said it, the old covenant, it was distance and separation. New covenant is oneness. First John chapter 4, verse 17. By this,
is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in the world. Listen, love is going to become our foundation, but the foundation of love is he's made us innocent. Holiness and purity cannot be a weapon against you. Romans 1:4. And was declared to be the Son of God. He was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead. Without the resurrection, you are not innocent. But after the resurrection, you're innocent. And when you're innocent, you can walk in holiness. I didn't say put your Pentecostal bun up on top of your head and act like a religious tutti-frutti. Prudy. Tutti frutti prudy is not called holiness. Holiness is being led by the Spirit. Holiness is giving him ability to say, okay, this habit's not going to send you to hell, but I wish you wouldn't. I had somebody in church, I might even be people here, you know, there were smokers. And they were hiding the ability that they smoked. I walked up to them one day. I said, listen, I said, you know, nowhere in scriptures does it say smokers go to hell, but liars do. Quit lying about it. You know, smoke to the best of your ability. Second Corinthians 6:6. By purity, listen to me, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit with genuine love, by purity. Listen, what I considered a weapon because I understand my innocence is the very thing that allows me to walk in purity, the very thing that allows me to walk in holiness, because I had not. So, I had been duped in the religious hamster wheel. A performance, and gave up my innocence. Does this make sense? Innocence is a weapon of warfare. So when the devil starts cornering you, going, nah, 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 you can go, I'm innocent. No, I'm beyond not guilty. I'm innocent. I'm beyond not guilty. Not guilty is there just wasn't enough evidence to put you in jail. When Jesus says that he became my sin, in Luke 4:18, and the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to set the captive and the prisoner free. If you break that down, it's the captive and the prisoner. Listen, a prisoner deserves to be in prison. A captive got put there because of somebody else. But he sets both of us free. There's things you've done that the devil says you deserve that punishment. But Jesus says, no, I became that punishment. Jesus is not our loophole. When we treat him as our loophole, then we have to jump through the hoop hole. A performance. Do unto others as God has done unto you. Stand up. By the show of the raising of your hands, how many of you received Jesus Christ into your heart for the forgiveness of sins? I absolutely do. So everybody's raising their hands. If not, we can fix that. All right, let me just do the other way. Put your hands down. Anybody that has not, raise your hand. So everybody's born again in here. Everybody's born again in here. Okay, we're going to do another altar call for salvation. Do you remember when you did your salvation prayer? Repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying on the cross. That was just the beginning. The greater thing is thank you from raising from the dead. Thank you for coming and living into my heart and making us one. I'm grateful that my sins are gone. But now I thank you for making me innocent. Now what are you going to do with your old natures? So it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. I can give you another. I got a bunch of scriptures, but I just didn't quite go there today. Kathy Walton's going like, I have a bunch of scriptures. We didn't use them. Too bad. So what Bill said, so if he's in you and you're in him, where are you seated? On the throne. You're on the throne. You're not looking at the throne. You are. Listen, he has made us the kingdom. So say this. I'm innocent. Not guilty. Wasn't good enough. I'm innocent. Now turn to your neighbor. And declare that they're innocent. Do it both ways. Listen, in the next season, quit looking for a baptism of love. Look for a baptism of innocence. Love will be right behind it. Amen. All right, I'm going to go after some holy cows here in just a minute. If I'm innocent, why am I always wrestling with my generational curses? If I'm really innocent, they shouldn't exist. It's a mindset, and the enemy is tormenting the Christians to go after generational curses that he's already canceled. Man, I don't have to work as hard as I thought it. Think about this now. If you're in Christ, where did they go? They're gone. Listen, I know Charlie McLeod's mom and dad, and they had some. Our family line had some. And the devil has had us go after our family curses because he drug us onto the wrong side of the cross. So come back onto this and declare your lineage as innocent. The sins of the father's father, father that has tried to torment me, I declare the innocence. And because of that, I will walk in the purity and the holiness of a family line that goes back to Jesus himself, back through Adam, back through the Father, because he reconciled to himself. Come on.
I feel like we're supposed to, there's power in our words. We all know that, right? But we need to start declaring and speaking these things out. Can we do that corporately?
Sure. Listen, this is stuff I've done in the last 2 weeks over this. Say, Lord, I thank you for what you did at the cross. But with the resurrection power, I declare innocence. on myself, my marriage, my relationship with every relative, natural and spiritual, that we are innocent all the way back through Adam and back into God Himself, who has reconciled us back to Him. In Jesus' name. Just, I'm telling you, last night at 10 o'clock, there was a conference call with a bunch of Jack Taylor's sons that he was up dealing with some stuff. There's been a line drawn in the sand, and a lot of it comes back down to they believe there's a release of the Father's love coming. There was a bunch of us on that call last night. But I believe this is the foundation for love to stand on. You got something?
I just wanted to tell you, while you were doing all this in New York, Brian wrote while Charlie was doing this in New York and Brian Hickey was here, one of the things he broke was he broke our desire to see Charlie's clay and only see his gold and see the gold in those around us. Mm. And I'll bring that with innocence.
Yeah, he was here. I was there. Listen, I believe more than anything, we named this church Identity Church. And you will not function properly within your relationships with God and your relationships around you in your own personal family or the corporate with a false identity. And if your identity with God is not laced with your innocent, you have a false identity. Therefore, your behaviors will not line up. And I'm going to tell you, I'm texting somebody who did everything he could to destroy me in the last 3 years. I'm texting him because we don't know what this looks like. We don't know what maturity looks like. That's the problem. We don't know what reconciliation really looks like. When he says, most Christians cannot enter into the ministry of reconciliation because you've had conversations of justification. Listen, that's not innocence. Conversations of justification is not innocence. It's a false identity. But the Father's about to kiss his people. And we've got to get this settled before, so the kiss will have the effect of empowering and winning a world. Who keep looking at us at Christians and go, look at your behavior. That's not innocent. Look at your behavior. That's not God. And we've given God a bad name because we've not let God be who he's supposed to be, which is making us innocent.
Thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church. To know more about us, go to identitychurch.net. where you'll find resources such as a calendar, media, and upcoming events. You can also download an app for your mobile device from the Apple App Store or Google Play. Then from your mobile device, you can hear our messages, read the Bible, take notes, connect with us on social media, and even pay your tithe. Again, thank you for tuning into Identity Sunday Morning Message, where sonship is revealed. Have a blessed day.